You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
I assume everyone listening knows who you are, but but who is Phil Goff?
Yeah, well, born and bred Aucklander, born in Mount Eden, grew up in Mount Roskill and then in Papatoetoe. Did my schooling here, went to Auckland University, always nostalgic coming back on campus, even though it was a few years ago. Taught here for 4 years in politics, did my OE, came back, went into Parliament way back in 1981, a long time ago, before most of our listeners were born.
Yeah.
Ended up doing 32 years in Parliament with a small break in between where I taught at Auckland University of Technology. And after all that time, you know, 15 years as a cabinet minister and an equivalent period in opposition, sadly, it just seemed to me, as an Aucklander, I wanted to do something for my city. You know, maybe I was a little bored with the parliamentary debates and certainly bored with being in opposition. Wanted a chance to make a difference for my city. So coming back here and running for the mayoralty just seemed the right thing to do. And instead of living two nights a week and 3 days in Wellington, be able to go home to my own bed at nights and be part of the city. It was great, and it's been a fantastic challenge.
So you've had one term, you're running for your second. Are you just running because you can? I mean, why go for a second term? Is it just because it's sort of expected of you?
No, because I don't think I've finished the job that I've set out to do, and it was a huge job. How do you transform your city? How do you turn it around? How do you reverse, you know, really a decade of underinvestment in infrastructure? How do you tackle problems like traffic congestion and housing shortage and unaffordability and damage to the environment? I've learned a lot in my first 3 years, and I think that will make me even more effective in the second 3 years. But to get on and do the job and to make a difference in this city for my kids who have also grown up here and for my grandkids who are now being born, that just seemed a challenge that I shouldn't walk away from.
We have quite low voter turnout in Auckland and in New Zealand just in terms of local elections. Why should people listening be excited to vote next month?
Because it's about their city. It's about the future of the city, and particularly for our younger people. You know, what I do now may affect me for the next 10 or 20 years, who knows, 10 or 20 minutes maybe. But for the young people that are here on campus, this is about the future of the city they'll grow up in and the sort of city it needs to become. And, you know, it's basic things like the environment. Why for nearly 100 years, actually probably over 100 years, have we been tipping sewage into our harbours and onto our beaches because our stormwater floods into our wastewater that then floods into the harbour? It's about what we need to do to preserve our native trees. You know, my Million Trees program, which we got up to 1.1 million, and I want to do, you know, even more than that, about wiping out the predators so that we save our native birds from extinction, about addressing climate change, you know, the biggest challenge of our time. And we have to do something about that, not on our own, we can't do it on our own, but working with central government and working with the international community. It's about how we change the way in which we think that, you know, maybe we don't all need to drive our cars into town, and that if we've got a convenient and accessible and good public transport system, we can get mode shift. And we are getting that now. It's about making sure that instead of our house prices skyrocketing and becoming beyond the reach of a new generation of home buyers, we can keep those prices down by zoning enough land for housing development, making sure that we've got new forms of housing to suit all needs, like apartments and terrace houses and not just standalone houses. All of those, they're fantastic challenges to have, frustrating at times because you always don't have enough resource to do everything you want to, but a challenge that you can work with your community to help to resolve.
And this conversation we're having seems to be one of the few times this election cycle that there hasn't been a candidate called John Tamaheri butting in. Has it been disappointing to you that a lot of the media attention in the past few months has been dominated by that kind of rivalry sort of that the two of you have?
What I guess is disappointing is that the debates can too often degenerate into a personal slanging match, and I'd rather not do that. and I try not to do it. But then, you know, it is kind of, it was kind of weird to have him give me the Nazi slogan the other day, just after I'd been talking about how fantastic it is that we live in a diverse and inclusive city. And I just mentioned that, you know, my next grandchild, born in just a few weeks' time, is going to be part Maori, part Filipino, part Irish, part English. And he responded to that by saying, well, seek hail to that. And I thought, wow, that's seriously strange. But, you know, it's not about, he spends a lot of time slagging me off. What I like to talk about is what I want to do for the city and what my vision is. And, you know, if John would keep to that, I think we'd have better quality debates.
And when it hasn't been personal attacks, one of the criticisms that has come out has been in regards to you basically having too much connection to Parliament or to government, being a bit of a pawn. What do you think distinguishes you from Phil Gough the MP now that you're the mayor?
Well, I think I delivered for New Zealand when I was a cabinet minister. You know, lots of things like the China Free Trade Agreement, like international education, like the work I did as Minister for the Environment and saving the geysers in Rotorua when people were sinking bores that were going to destroy them. There are things that I'm really proud of. And the other thing that I'm proud of, I guess, is that I've done my job, I hope, with integrity, with honesty, that I've been trustworthy, I've been reliable. I haven't made demeaning and insulting comments about other people, either based on their gender or on their ethnicity or on their sexual orientation. And, you know, my challenge to John is to say, can he really look back on his career and say that he's treated people with that sort of respect?
But now that you're the mayor, are you still prepared to, I mean, we've got a Labor government, you're a Labor minister, are you prepared to piss them off if it works
look,
for Auckland?
We have a lot of battles with them. These are people that are colleagues, former colleagues of mine. But, you know, I obviously get on well with Jacinda. I employed her as a first job out of university. And, wow, what choice, what judgment. but, you know, I also got on well with people like Bill English. And there are people, you know, in the current government that I won't get on with, and there were people in the last government that I won't get on with. My job is not simply to get on with them. My job is to get a fair deal, and that's how I put it, a fair deal for Aucklanders. We're not asking for things over and above our population and our growth rates, but, you know, I say to government, look, there's more growth happening in Auckland than the rest of the country put together. Auckland is bigger than the next 9 sized cities in New Zealand put together. And if Auckland doesn't succeed, New Zealand doesn't succeed. This has got to be the place that is New Zealand's globally competitive and international city. This has got to be the place where we can retain the best and brightest of our young people and attract skilled and experienced people from overseas. And you need, if you want us to grow like we're growing, you know, 40,000 extra people a year, you need to give us the funding to make sure we can invest in the infrastructure the city needs to cope with that growth. And why do they have to provide the funding? Well, they take 93% of our public revenue and local government takes 7%. So yes, we rate people and raise money that way. Yes, we have user charges for, you know, consenting processes, etc. But we also rely on central government to provide the basic capital we need to invest in the future. And either they've got to devolve that funding to us or they've got to make grants of that funding to us, but they can't expect us to absorb 40,000 more people each year without ensuring we are in a state to be able to do that, provide transport without congestion, provide housing without being unaffordable with major housing shortages, and look after the environment that sustains all of us.
So out of all of the things that we've already talked about, what is the one big issue that you think is going to need to be tackled over the next 3 years?
Well, I think the biggest issue is, first of all, to ensure that we can invest in the infrastructure we need to sustain the city environmentally, in terms of our transport systems, in terms of our housing. If you looked at the single biggest issue environmentally, I'd say it was climate change, because that is destined to cause us enormous costs environmentally and economically. Now, we can't do it on our own, but we are 35% of this country's population, and we need to pull our weight, just as New Zealand needs to pull its weight internationally, and we need an international community that is going to do likewise. That might mean goodbye to Donald Trump.
So that's the environment kind of ticked off. One of your other big hopes, I suppose, is to keep developing our public transport network.
Yeah.
Is that something you're going to keep working on?
Oh, absolutely. You know? And, you know, we hit 100 million passenger trips a year in Auckland 2 months ago, and that's been phenomenal growth. But if you go back to the days of my grandfather when he was driving a tram in Auckland, they were carrying 121 million passenger trips a year.
Right.
So we've still got a long way to go. And, you know, I guess, unlike my main competitor, I don't believe that building more and bigger motorways and sprawling the city right out over the region is the answer to our housing difficulties. I want to do something about homelessness. That's really important to me. You know, just coming up here today, you always walk by a number of people that are homeless. We have, through Housing First, which is a collective of five housing agencies, and I chair the steering group for that. We've housed 1,000 people in the last 2.25 years. I'm proud of that, but I'm not proud of a city that still has people sleeping homeless on the streets. And there's a range of things that I want to do that enables us to tackle that problem.
And when you talk about not wanting to sprawl out like John Tamahiti's massive mega bridge or whatever it's called, I mean, do you actually believe that you can get people that really love driving, do you actually think you can get them onto public transport? Because I'm in a generation that do like public transport, but I still, when I have the opportunity, I'll drive because it's so much quicker.
Years ago, back in 2007, we decided we'd build a dedicated busway on the North Shore. And people said to us, North Shore people, they're really affluent. They won't want to travel by bus. You know the percentage of people that come from the North Shore into the central city now by bus? 53%. And most people leave their cars at home because it's more convenient, more accessible, and better for them to come in by public transport. It's a good service. It's expanding. It's more frequent. And it's quicker. We did an experiment with a couple of my councillors over on the shore a few weeks back, and we left from Smales Farm. I drove my car, an electric car, but a car, and they went by bus. They got to Albert Street 10 minutes quicker than I did, and that's the way that it is. So if you provide a really good service, people will use it. You provide safe cycleways, more people will cycle. Those numbers are going up by 8 or 9% a year. The number of people using buses on our rapid transit networks are going up by about 11% a year. So I'm absolutely convinced you don't have to bully people into taking public transport. You provide a good service, you get them used to using it, and they will grasp the opportunity.
So if it's, I actually agree with you, I find it a lot quicker to take the bus to the North Shore, but where I'm coming from out, even though it's only one bus really, coming from Mount Roskill, for example, it's still quicker to drive. Are you going to keep working on making it like the North Shore and having these dedicated busways?
I know Mount Roskill pretty well.
Yeah, that's why I brought it up.
and, you know, the light rail that will go through Mount Roskill will be quicker than the buses. It will be on dedicated tracks, separated from the cars. There'll be cars on either side. And you'll find that, you know, it was great when we bought the double-decker into Mount Roskill. I went on the inaugural trip.
I like them.
but they are still caught in the same congestion as all the other cars. Yeah. So light rail will be the answer to that. And all I'm saying to government is just get on and do it, please. You know, we've talked about it for a year now. They said the decision will be made by February. It can't come soon enough for me.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. But is all of this going to mean rates, are they going to go up? I mean, I'm only just getting, next year is my first year working full-time, and I'm like, I'm going to be in Auckland. Am I going to just start paying out of everywhere?
Well, you know, you got to die before you go to heaven. do we have to pay rates? Of course we have to. Do they have to increase if we want better services and more investment in infrastructure? And the answer is yes, but we've set out what the rates will be for the next 10 years. I promised last time around we'd keep them at 2.5%. I honoured that promise. The lowest rate rise of any significant city in New Zealand. For the next 10 years, it'll be 3.5%. That will still be the lowest rate rise for any large or medium-sized city in our country. So I think I'm finding the balance. And when I wanted to do something more for the environment, and I went out and talked to people about a water quality targeted rate and an environmental targeted rate, in the submissions, and we got thousands and thousands of submissions, and in the polling we did through Colmar Brunton, 2 to 3 to 1, people said, yeah, we don't mind paying a couple of bucks a week if you clean up our water quality, make our beaches safe to swim in, if you stop the kauri dieback that will otherwise wipe out our iconic tree. So if you explain to people how the money is being spent and you can show the results of how it's being spent, yeah, they'll contribute a bit more. But we have to be careful not to put too big a burden on people, because there's a lot of people out there that are still finding life pretty tough, and we've got to be conscious of that. That's why, you know, you might have seen the statement I made today. We've cut the spending in the mayoral office by 40%. Do I have a chauffeur-driven big SUV diesel car? No, I don't. I drive a small self-drive electric. Have I gone on big junkets overseas all the time? No, I've cut the travel budget for my office from $275,000 over the 3-year term to, I think it's 37, maybe even 27. You know, I'm very conscious of the way I spend the ratepayers' money, and, you know, I'm pretty tight with the way I control that expenditure, but that's the way it should be.
And just to finish off, I'm a student. Everyone that works on the show is a student. What are you going to do for tertiary students in Auckland?
Well, I'm going to create a better city for your future, because you're the ones that are going to inherit what I'm able to do right now and what I need to do right now. And that's around better public transport. It's around making sure that we've got more houses, and we're building houses at a faster rate than ever before in the history of this city. And house prices have actually come down in the last 3 years. And it's about treasuring our environment, cleaning up our beaches, planting the native trees to green our city, wiping out the predators and bringing back the Kiwis onto the mainland, and, you know, turning the one breeding pair of kokako in the Hunuas, which was a state, you know, 20 years ago, to 116 breeding pairs now. This is the environment that we have to love and cherish so that we can continue to enjoy it.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for clambering up all those stairs to BFM and all the
I got a bit of exercise. My pedometer should show that I've done a bit of exercise today.
Well, all the best for next month.
Okay, thank you very much.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.